Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. It's always a great pleasure to introduce a new author, a debut novelist. In this case, it's Gregory Brown, whose new book is The Lowering Days. It is a saga set in 1980s Maine that explores family love, the power of myths and storytelling. It also looks at survival and environmental exploitation and the ties between cultural identity and the land we live on. Gregory Brown is a graduate of the Iowa Writers' Workshop. He has grown up in Maine and also has been published in many quarterly reviews and magazines, and it is a great pleasure to talk to him about his new novel, The Lowering Days. Gregory Brown, thank you very much for being with us. What a pleasure to have you on the program.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here on the program with you.
So give us a sense, given your connection to the state of Maine, of what led you to this particular story and what you wanted to achieve with it.
Yeah. So you'd mentioned earlier that, you know, I grew up in Maine, and I grew up in the Penobscot River Valley specifically. The Lowering Days is set in a fictionalized version of that area. So just growing up, I felt that I was kind of collecting many, many stories and many different angles of the experience of what it means to be from that place, including what it means to be somebody who has had family that's been there for a very, very long time, but is still an outsider in many ways, you know, having a family whose background is primarily, you know, European American. And one of the things that always struck me about the area, and I think it's true of a lot of rural areas in the Northeast, is kind of this dichotomy of having to take from the land or use the land to make a living, and then also loving the land and being so tied to the land and seeing it as a thing with agency and sentience and wanting to like honor it as a living being. So those kind of conflicts are at the center of the book, this question of, you know, how do we balance the need to use the land with the idea of recognizing the land as living? And when it comes to taking from the land, and in the case of the Lowering Days, there's a paper mill that's been shuttered, and it's about to be reopened potentially. And to prevent that from happening, a teenager decides to burn it to the ground in order to protect the land. So if we do have to use the land, like, what can we do to stop that use, to acknowledge it? And also, like, where does this idea of kind of crime come in? Is the greater affront to the area the burning of this mill, or is it having to rely on a mill and extractive processes that harm land in the first place?
The novel, as you mentioned, opens with this crime being committed by Molly, who starts the fire. And she obviously, nobody knows it's her at the time. Tell us a little bit about Molly and what brings her to that action of doing that.
Absolutely. So Molly is 14 years old, and she's a Penobscot teenager who has watched her father, Adam, work at the mill for most of her life. So she's keenly aware of kind of both the personal and the greater societal, like, conflict and hardship that a mill can put on people. So she's watched her dad struggle working at the mill, and she knows that the minute the mill potentially reopens, he's going to slide right back into that life and that work because he needs it to provide. So in addition to watching it kind of wear her father down and wear other people down at an individual level, she's watched it, you know, continually pollute the land. Dioxin is a toxin that's part of, it's a byproduct of the bleaching process of paper. And it's been poured into the river, both the actual Penobscot River and the fictional version of the river in the book, for generations. And those are bioaccumulative toxins that don't leave the body. They keep building up. So Molly has watched her people, Penobscot people, be continually poisoned at a higher rate by the river. So she's also fighting this kind of larger cultural or communal aggression that she's experienced. And her dilemma is to continue to sit by and watch this happen or to act. And she acts in this very bold manner. And for her, she's taking full ownership of this. She's tired of being acted upon by various forces of history. So I am going to stand up for the land and also seek to protect people like my father who have become beholden to these harmful industries.
So growing up in this small community on the Penobscot River is David, who is the narrator of this story. Tell us a little bit about him and his background to relating this drama to us.
Yeah, so the book centers around three families. There's the Ames family. David is the youngest son in that family. The Creel family, which is a neighboring family. Both those families are down at the bottom of the river on the bay. And then the third family is the Greenwind family, Molly and her father, Adam. So David is, like I mentioned, he's the youngest son of the Ames family. His mother, Fallon, runs a newspaper called The Loring Days. And she becomes involved in the aftermath of the fire. And his father is a boat builder. So David is kind of uniquely positioned in many ways at the crux of these three families and also the crux of them colliding and entering conflict and crisis together. And one of the things about David is, you know, as the youngest, in many ways, he's most open and most observant, and he tends to witness things without judgment in a way that, or he tries to at least, he has in a way that he hasn't seen happen as often in the community around him. So he becomes a bit like a conduit who, early in the book, there's a line about him wanting to kind of move through all these lives like the river moves through the land. And that's what he's trying to do, is just kind of flow through these histories and these actions that bring people into conflict and make sense of them. So for David, ultimately, he's kind of faced with this process of discovering who he is, what his family has taken from this place, how his family has added to that, and how they're trying to contradict that. And he's also like in this position of trying to break a cycle of violence that he's seen in his community. I think we see this in a lot of places in our country where these cycles of resentment or scarcity, a mindset of not being able to give somebody back their land or not being able to fully acknowledge native sovereignty because one is afraid that they are going to lose something. This kind of holding on to mentality leads to these cycles of violence that are really hard to break. And, you know, David's seeking to figure out how to break them and trade those patterns of resentment for, you know, a life of compassion, per se.
As we began to talk about the fire at the beginning, but there are investors that are looking to purchase and reopen the mill, which brings up this conversation about, you know, what is this going to do, and is this good because it's an economic boost, and many others are troubled because of what the mill has done in the past. And Molly says, well, working at the mill kills people. And her father replies, so does being poor. I mean, that sums up a lot, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And yeah, it's Moses, another elder, not her father that says that, but it gets, yeah, right to the heart of it. The mill turns people into machines. The mill kills people. The mill kills land. But yeah, so does being poor. And that's the dilemma, I think, of these communities that have been reliant on, like, the institutional will of mills for so long. And that's something that Molly, you know, despite being this bold teenager who thinks she has a lot of things figured out and is taking agency in this action, I mean, she's still a very, like, misguided 14-year-old in many ways. Maybe misguided isn't fair to her character, but not fully cognizant of, like, the ripples of things. So, you know, Moses kind of holds that mirror up in a way. Don't be as self-righteous in your act as you are right now, because it's much more complicated.
And there is that idea that you're playing with here, which is, do you consider it a crime if you're doing it for the greater good?
Right. There's also this question of, like, what is a crime, and then what's a corrective action to a crime? So if you know, the mill itself, the whole reliance on forest industry for a way of creating livelihood and economy is, you know, the crime, if that's Molly's argument, like, you know, the setting of the fire is arguably a correction in some ways. There might be other ways to correct that. But historically, when people try to just get mills removed, or when tribal communities try to buy mills, which has happened in Maine in the not too distant past, you know, when the Penobscot Nation attempted to buy one of the paper mills so they could run it according to their standards, since it was, you know, relying on their river, you know, they were turned away and shut down. So sometimes, you know, to get something that is so enmeshed in an area, to get it to stop harming that area, you have to act more boldly. And Molly is of that belief.
The story is so beautiful in its telling, and it is expansive. What do you hope you leave readers with, the issues that you leave us grappling?
Yeah, I hope I leave readers thinking about the history of the places they are from, the history of how place and landscape has been harmed and harnessed and utilized in a way that isn't necessarily fair to the earth. And I'm also hopeful that readers will just take away what's basically a story of three families trying to figure out, like, their historical past and conflicts, and how to be more compassionate, kinder, gentler to each other going forward. That's what I hope people will think about, like, how to be better to one another and to the earth.
The name of the new novel is The Lowering Days. It is published by Harper and simply beautiful. Gregory Brown, thank you so much for sharing with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you so much, Joe. It was wonderful.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is The Lowering Days, a novel. It is published by Harper. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.